Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we talked a bit about Harry Kane, as you can imagine. That was one of the big news stories of the day. We were then joined by a lower league goalkeeper, Alisson.
It's a great story.
It is. We also spoke to Cy King, one half of the Hairy Bikers. Big Newcastle fan. He's got a new single out for a good cause. He told us about that. You got involved with some excellent emails and texts, as always. And I think that'll probably just about do it. That'll do
for
now.
Yeah,
that's enough.
I thought you were brilliant.
That's all you deserve, basically.
You had a slight cold, Paul, but you didn't bleat on about it.
I've got a slight cold, but you had a sneezing fit, which I haven't so far.
That's true.
You're the one who sneezed during the news.
Well, is that a crime?
It's not really a crime. It's just an observation.
Right, fine. I'd like to apologise to anybody that's unlikely to make the podcast. The sneezing. If you want all warts and all, you have to listen to the show.
Let's put it in. Anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. So Ryan Mason talking to the press about now. So I've got in Ryan Mason bingo, I've got, as far as I'm concerned, Harry Kane is a Tottenham Hotspur player.
Yeah.
I've got that. I've got, I'm focusing all my attention on Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And I've also got, of course he's off, wouldn't you be? He's way too good for us.
Yeah, so I think he may kick off with that. Apparently the word out of the club is that they're not massively impressed with the timing of this. I don't sense that it's been done deliberately, but the word has got out. I did hear about 4 weeks ago that this was imminent, so it didn't come as a massive surprise to me. But the cat is out of the bag. I do wonder if the timing of it has got something to do with maybe Harry Kane's people making overtures, being told, well, you know, you've got 3 years left on your contract, suck it up.
Doesn't sound like Daniel Levy would say something like that.
Well, I'm not
that.
Saying it was him, but I'm sensing... Maybe there's a bit of frustration. I don't know. We shall see. But it is kind of an inevitable consequence of the mismanagement of the club on the football front. I can't argue with the infrastructure. You've only got to look at that, the bricks and mortar. But on the football front, really, since the season, you know, when Maurizio Pochettino kept saying that we needed a churn, we needed a rebuild, we needed to build on what we had, and we didn't. So this is a consequence of that, I think.
I mean, I think it'd be really interesting to see what happens at Spurs tomorrow night. I think we were saying before the show that there'll be a lot of love for Harry Kane.
Yeah.
It'll be sort of like, please,
we want
don't,
you to stay.
Please don't go,
he's
Harry.
He's one of our own. There'll be banners. But there'll be bed sheets currently having black emulsion paint put on them saying, please don't go, Harry.
Yeah, there will be some ire, I imagine, aimed towards the director's box. There would have been anyway.
I think there
would
have been, yeah, but this will compound it, I think.
But what you know will happen is that Harry Kane will be sold 2 hours before the end of the window, and then you'll have 2 hours to get a manager and to get eight players.
It's like a game show, isn't it?
Just do it now.
Challenge Daniel. He's in a helicopter in a jumpsuit.
I mean, we were talking before the show. It was quite entertaining. The chat we were having should have been on air, Paul. But
a lot of the stuff, sadly, I can't say on air.
But you would think that at some point, you know, Spurs might realise that it might be an idea that if this is going to happen, sure, you want to try and convince him to stay. But if he wants to go, pick a price, accept that price if somebody gives you the money that you want. Yeah. Do it early. Get a manager who's got experience. We've both talked about Ralph Rangnick, and say, do you know what, Daniel Levy, I've got involved in a lot of deals in the past and it hasn't gone that well.
Yeah.
Why don't I try a new tactic and just give them time, sign some players before like a minute to midnight, five games into the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it all sounds very sensible, this that I'm suggesting. It doesn't sound like a mad plan, does it?
I think it's very difficult when you've been in that situation. It's quite difficult to let go. This is why I think Rangnick wouldn't get the job, because he would want to be in charge of recruitment, and I don't sense that Daniel Levy would let him do that. So someone that could be given 150 million with his track record, plus maybe, if they actually do manage to sell some players. That's the biggest problem. Tottenham's problem with churn is the chairman wants maximum amounts of money for a lot of players that people don't want, and he wants a huge return on players that haven't been successful, and he wants to pay next to nothing for other players from other clubs.
When I bought my flat, right at the end of the deal, there was something saying, look, if there's a problem with the building works, you know, we'll put $5,000 towards it in the next 6 months, right? Because, you know, we've lived in it for the last 15 years and it's some kind of... And I was like, okay. And then at the last minute, they said, actually, we're not going to do that. And you think you've gone through the whole thing. You just want the flat. That, you know, it takes so long. At the end, you think, you're doing that at the last minute.
Yeah.
You sneaky bleeps.
Yes.
But then at the end of the day, you're just like, look, I can't fight over this because I just, you know, and that's what he does with every single business deal, isn't it?
Well, look, that thing, the old Danny Blanchflower thing about echoes of glory. I mean, I think if you look at the clubs that generally are successful, there is a little bit of glory in it for their owners, whether that be City, whatever the questionable nature of the ownership in some people's eyes, Chelsea, where this is Roman Abramovich, wanting some of that glory, enjoying the sporting glory. I never sense with the Tottenham board and the Tottenham ownership that sporting glory is that important, that it is about the business. And, you know, I think that's always going to mean we fall short.
So as a result, you may desert Tottenham and follow Harry Kane.
I was just thinking to myself, you know, I've not glory hunted. I'm a Tottenham fan, for goodness sake. So, mate, has anybody ever gone with a player? I mean, I would imagine some of those Nouveau fans. It's probably someone in Kuala Lumpur now who regards himself as a Cristiano Ronaldo fan. So when Cristiano played for Real Madrid, he supported Real Madrid. And when he played for Juventus, he supported Juventus, and possibly going back that far to Manchester United. But there are certain players, marquee players, like how many people around the world, if Messi went to City next season,
we just transfer their allegiance straight
away. Just become City. Oh, they've gone by, because they're really, and as long as you've got Messi 10 on the back of it, they don't really care, do they? So, I mean, I'm joking, of course, but would you follow a player over a club? Have you ever considered doing that?
I've got a couple. Vic Graham says, my brother was only 5 years old, but he changed allegiance from Watford to Liverpool when John Barnes left, and he's been a Red ever since. And Railway Galactic says, I did this as a kid before I understood the taboo. I always loved Tim Cahill. Now all I have is tattered dreams and a pristine Hangzhou Greentown shirt.
We also want to hear from you if you've ever been offered step aside money. As you've been hearing on TalkSport, Deontay Wilder, there's muddied the water of the AJ Tyson Fury fight. But we all know what's going to happen. No one's got the stomach for Wilder Fury 3. Who cares? Let's be honest. He's beaten him. He really beaten him twice, let's be honest. But he certainly beaten him once. So who wants to see that? So what? Step aside money. What a joyful... Imagine that. Imagine you're at work today and they say, some step aside money.
You know, I'll take... Look, if Barry or Charlie or Andy Vance is coming back in...
The trouble
says,
is,
you know,
I was saying to you earlier on, it's costing me a fortune working with you, because every day I work with you, I offer Charlie Baker step-aside money.
Sure,
sitting on his backside at the moment, eating a pasty.
Exactly.
Listening to this, he's quids in.
He's due the shift, isn't he? He's due the shift, but nobody wants to hear that, do they? So,
exactly.
Obviously, he's at the step-aside.
So step-aside money for Charlie. He's laughing. He's at his leisure. So, anyway, you ever been offered step aside money? I mean, it seems unlikely.
But have you ever been paid to do absolutely nothing?
Yeah.
Don't say that's what you're doing right now, Max. We know that. Everyone knows that's true. It's the easy chair. We're aware of the secret. You don't need to tell anybody. The bosses don't really realise what this chair's all about. But have you ever been paid to do absolutely nothing?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Jane in Horridge says, when Joe Jordan left Leeds for Manchester United in 1978, I followed him 43 years later, not literally, like a stalker. 43 years later, I'm still a Manchester United season ticket. That's treacherous, Jane. She went with Joe and she stayed with him at Manchester United. A little bit of glory hunting going on.
But then she stopped there. She didn't carry all the, you know, when Joe Jordan was like assistant to Harry, she wasn't there going, now I'm Spurs.
But she sent hate mail to Gennaro Gattuso, didn't she, after their little fallout on the
touchline.
Anyway, open your papers today. They're still talking about Alisson's incredible headed goal against West Brom at the weekend. We rarely see goalkeepers scoring. Well, on Saturday, before Alisson worked his heroics for Liverpool, This story appeared in The Sun. It involves goalkeeper Jordan Holt, who scored three times in a cup semi-final and still ended up on the losing side. He was playing not for Liverpool, to be fair, but for Wigginton Grasshoppers.
Tough place to go.
Good afternoon, Jordan.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, you probably looked at Alisson Sunday and thought, yeah, right. Because talk us through the first two goals that were quite Alisson. Like, give us the scenario. What was going on and how you scored the goals?
Yeah, so the backdrop of it was a County Cup semi-final. Went up to Yarm, not an easy place to go, like you said. Mm. But yeah, we were 2-0 down going into the last sort of 5-10 minutes. We started to play a bit better and we weren't really in the game before that. And then we got a corner about the 90th minute and it was a case of looking to the bench for permission, but I was going anyway.
It doesn't matter what level you're at as a goalkeeper, who gave you the nod? Was it the coach or who gave you the nod?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have a goalkeeping coach at Wigginton, no?
No, we don't. Okay. My dad's on the coaching staff, so I kind of gave him the look and he just flicked his head and said, yeah, go on, what we got to lose?
Right.
So that was about the 90th minute. Ball came in. And yeah, I got my head on it. So 2-1. So it was like, right, get back.
Did they not pick you up? Was it like Alisson? Was it that confused look of the defenders around you saying, who's picked you up? Has anybody tried to pick you up?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a free fall, isn't it, at that stage? You see the keeper come up and go, who's going to mark this idiot coming? so I sort of put my body in a sort of a position. I thought, right, I can get my head on this. And yeah, the ball came in and it was inch perfect. So yeah, 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
Did you get the ball and run back to the centre circle? Or did someone else get that?
Nah, someone was already on that.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So saved me an extra 3 yards in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
Went back and then sort of probably about 2 minutes later, we got another corner as if to say, well, we're still 2-1 down. Let's go up again. So.
And did they take you any more seriously this time? Did you have a man right on
you
this
time?
Yeah,
they did actually. Their biggest centre-half picked me up second time round, which was, I think they tried to learn the lesson from the first one. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they didn't. So, again, a bit of a carbon copy, really.
Wow.
Head on the second one and, it all went a bit nuts.
Imagine the Yarm manager at this point. He'd be going mad, won't he?
Well, Yarm, famously, Yarm do zonal marking. It just doesn't...
They do.
You know,
they don't
this,
go...
It's, it's a lesson they should learn. Now, obviously, there is this, you know, hashtag scenes is what people say. But after you've scored your second header in injury time to get the match level, can you describe the scenes for us?
Yeah, so... a bit of a spoiler, really. I used to play centre-half for a few years. Hmm. So I think our lads kind of expected me to get my head on the end of it. Obviously, anyone from Yarm doesn't really know who I am and kind of what was going on. So they were obviously sort of head in the hands, being 2-0 up going into the 90th minute. And then some keeper scores two goals, which, out of the blue. We actually got a third corner after that. Permission was denied.
You're joking.
Come on, Dad.
I know. So we thought there was a little bit of extra time after that. So obviously at that point we had something to hang on to. So
permission was denied. You got to reach for the stars, in the words of
West Club
7.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing. I mean, if we'd have realised in that split second it was straight to penalties, I think I'd have been flying up again. But
so you took a pen as well. Once it did go to pens, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So first three each basically were scored. And then my best mate, actually, Josh Lurker, started giving a shout out. He missed.
Oh, Josh. It was your best mate. So, clearly, now you've outed him on national radio.
I know,
Only mentions he's on national radio, missing a pen.
I know, yeah. Sorry. They went first. So that I saved one, then we missed. And then it was my penalty. Fifth, which
was it
Joshua
a traditional
scored.
Keeper's pen? Well, like you're
Kevin
like
Preston,
a goal kick that goes in the net. Was it one of those, or was it a Panenka?
I'd like to say it was a bit more cool, calm, and collected than that. Actually, it wasn't a case of just put your laces through it. So, I mean, the original plan was not to take one. I used to take them, but if you save a penalty, your emotions are running high, and I said, you might just end up going up and lashing it over. So, when there was four confident hands and then a few half half-hearted hands getting raised. It was like, right, solid. What we got to lose? I'll put my hand up. So, yeah.
And you lost on penalties, though. Yarm came through. And what was it like at the end? I mean, any of the Yarm players, I mean, obviously they could be magnanimous then. Were they saying, blimey, well done, mate? That is it. They realised they'd been in a different, noteworthy kind of game, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. There was one lad that was giving me a bit of stick, actually, because their second goal was on the... It's one of them, you do it 100 times and it happens once. Ball sort of broke. I've gone to clear it. It's hit this lad in the midriff and cannoned in and gone 30 yards behind me. So he was giving me stick for about 20 minutes about that. Obviously, there's always one gobby so-and-so, isn't there, really? But
of course, yes, there is.
After he was giving it large and... sort of when I went up for a corner, he's like, oh, you're not going up for this as well. You're not going up for that. So I was like, I scored the first one. I sort of gave him the eyes as if to say, it's time yet. and then obviously after the second one, I think he wanted the ground to swallow him up, really.
Considering, Jordan, that you've been completely let down by your team, he scored two, you scored a penalty, you saved a penalty, you've been completely let down by your teammate. Are you looking for a move?
I mean, the summer window's open, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Well, for everyone wants a goal-scoring keeper. They're very much...
They're on vogue.
Yeah, they're on vogue at the moment. Yeah, yeah. So that will be...
Yeah, the highs and lows of football, actually. I knackered my knee on Sunday, so... So, actually, your producer rang me yesterday. I was on the X-ray table, so I had to bring him back.
So that's you for the season, is it?
Yeah, that's me for the season, I think. We've got one cup final to come. Sort of our league cup. So, yeah, that's me done, I think.
Well, Jordan, it's a great story.
Brilliant story.
Appreciate you joining us, and well done. You know, out Alisson, that does take some doing. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard. But thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
What do you do? What do you say? It's smoke and mirrors. You never stay.
Waiting for the sun.
Come home.
Waiting for the sun.
Because you never stay.
Waiting for
That's Waiting for the Sun by Little Moscow. And taking lead vocals, I think, which is rare for him, is one half of the Hairy Bikers, Newcastle fan, friend of the show, Si King. Good afternoon, Si.
Afternoon. How are you doing, fellas?
Good. We're good. So, you don't normally take on the vocals, do you?
No. Well, we all sing button vocals, you know, because and I quite like that part of me being in the band is I quite like sitting at the back. However, this time as well, I play percussion as well, so I play congas. So on that track, I'm playing congas, and there's actually a better drummer than me called Ivan Diaz, who's another part of Little Moscow who plays drums on it. And because I couldn't do both, I'm not that talented.
the second best drummer in the band.
Yeah,
it's a key role.
The second best. Yeah, it's a bit like Ringo Starr. Yeah. You know? So the lads said, "Oh, listen, Kingy, do you want to sing this?" And I was like, "No." Said, "You're singing it. It's your track." So I said, "Okay." So I just gave it a go, and it was for a good cause, you know. Yeah. So we just thought we'd have a bit of a giggle with it, and then we thought, "Oh, I quite like this. Should we release it?" And let's release it with the Trussell Trust in mind, just because of the huge and outrageous increase in the need for food banks across their network, and the reliance on them in the UK in 2021 is nothing short of shocking. So we thought we'd just raise a little bit of awareness about that, lads, as well, really.
I think that's one of the things that has come out of the pandemic, isn't it? I think people have been honestly shocked by just how many people are using food banks. It's, you know, it is. I think it's been a shock to a lot of people.
Sure, and I think there's no, you know, lads, there's no one reason. You know, I remember I was only, and I'm sure you guys do too, I remember when I was first starting out that I was only a month away from complete financial oblivion. You know, you'd got the mortgage paid, you had the kids, you had car, you know. And these aren't, you know, there are so many socioeconomic reasons that people have to use food banks. Mm. And it's not the fault of that, through no fault of their own. And it's also that kind of erosion of your dignity as a human being as well, because we live in a society that you cease to be important as soon as you cease to have the finances and the ability to consume, and I think that's shocking, you know, that's no way to live in any civilized society.
Sure. I think, you know, from what Marcus Rashford did in reading his story, I think for people who, you know, and I feel very lucky, I've never, ever had to think, like when I was going to school, to think, I don't know if there's going to be dinner. It was like, oh, what's for dinner? You know, that was, I never had to think, I wonder if there will be food. And I think it's quite hard to imagine what's that like if you haven't experienced it.
Well, I think it's hard to imagine the emotion behind it, and it's not hard to imagine hunger and desperation, is it? Because that means that, you know, that we all have a little bit of, we should have some empathy with each other, and I think that's what the pandemic's brought a little bit closer, that there are more things that are important than the entertainment of material wealth. There's community, there's care, there's love, there's compassion, and there's understanding. And a celebration in the difference of us all, you know, and that's more important than anything else, because that's the true glue of society and how we all should get on, really. And I think that the pandemic brought that to the fore, really.
So all the money goes to the Trussell Trust. You've got a kind of link to a website so people can download it. There's no third party involved, is there?
No, there's no third party involved. But what we have done, just because it's easier, because people are streaming and stuff, you know, it was a bit clunky at the beginning. So we decided to put it down on littlemoscow.net, which is where you can download it and you pay your quid and it goes to the trust. But what we've decided to do is through a very good organisation called TuneCore, we've decided to put it on Spotify and iTunes as well, because that's where people normally stream their music from. So we just want to make as much dosh as we possibly can for the Trust's network of food banks. So we thought we'd do that and see how that goes. So we're keeping a close eye on all those that are nibbling what is a very small percentage.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Well, look, we'll tweet out the links as well.
Yeah, I've just tweeted the link for the little video you've done for Little Moscow with the website as well.
And we'll get those
thanks, guys.
Through
that's,
our social
that's
media.
That's kind of you. And are you both well and on good form?
Yeah, we're not too bad. We're kicking along despite everything.
It's very polite. I've not many guests come on and ask us how we generally are. I've got a leaking tap in the kitchen. Yeah. You know,
as long as it's just the tap, lads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
fine. We're all of that certain age, aren't we? You
know? Yeah, absolutely. Paul's got a little bit of a cold, but he doesn't want to talk about it.
I won't talk about that. I soldier on.
Paul, don't talk about your cold. Don't talk about it.
So did you and Dave have a series sort of in the bank, or did it kind of stop you? Because obviously you guys normally get on the road, and that was impossible during the pandemic, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I had that kind of little break and stuff at the end, where everybody tried to get back to normal and it didn't work. So we were filming. So we do have a series that is coming out in the autumn. That's in the in the archives of the BBC waiting for them to announce when they're going to show it.
All right.
So I think that's going to be in the autumn. And we actually start filming again on another show at the end of the month. So it did stop quite a lot of our activity. And it's been an interesting time because Dave and I were talking about it in the sense that, you know, it's the first time in 25 years I've ever been this long in one place. Mm. So it's kind of, it's been quite reflective, you know, as well. So it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
What a gig, isn't it? Motorbiking around, eating, cooking stuff. Like, just a dream you've got.
We've known you guys.
I may have oversimplified it there slightly, but
we've known you for a long time since the kind of very early days. And it is amazing, isn't it? You've kind of, you know, you've both worked very hard and you're very good at what you do, but you must pinch yourself sometimes because you're two mates who get to sort of work together regularly and do something you both love.
There's not a day goes by when we're on location, you know, that we don't put our eyes skyward and say thank you very much, because it's you know, we're incredibly privileged and that never ever ever has left us. You know, because that's important. It's important to understand your privilege, and it's important to actually recognize it and say thank you, you know, to whatever God you believe in. But it's always good. And you know that the all the people that follow the Biters we love them. It's a community, you know. We're always enormously appreciative of the support that we get, because it's always a constant surprise to me. It's like, people keep liking it, dear. What's going on, man? You know what I mean?
Do you ever just bring yourself back down to earth by watching a Newcastle game? Certainly from the first, what, six, 7 months of this season.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit difficult psychologically because, you know, there's a tendency for suicidal thought. But it's not been great. I was just reading the day in the Ronnie Gill, which is the Evening Chronicle, which is one of our local papers, that we've now dropped out of. It's interesting. I was going to talk to you about Barnsley and what Barnsley was saying the other day about the Super League and all that sort of stuff. And basically, he just hit the nail on the head, didn't he? Because, you know, football for me in my head was always a working class game. And now there's things like, you know, words associated like brand.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. And, you know, Newcastle's ready for a big, the big bang, because it's, you know, it's slipped out of the top 20 of the most lucrative European football clubs. And, you know, and it's now at number 22. So it's ripe for takeover, you know. And it's just like, when did that, what has gone on with that sort of football culture? You know, Newcastle United is right in the centre of the city of Newcastle. And it's, and you know, the city does well when the football team does well.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, all the fans in Newcastle have a sense of frustration about this kind of, you know, it's all about the dollar. And the thing is that it is all about the dollar, because you can't perform as a football club without it. And it's just, it's just so sad and so frustrating that we're at that point that you know, and that the fans get rinsed. You know, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And then you see the performances on the field, and you just think, well, no wonder the lads are under enormous pressure. The managers are under enormous pressure, because it's not about football anymore. It's about money and agents.
Mm. Finally, so
my take on it.
Yeah, no, I think that, well, after what's happened over the last few weeks with ESO, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that, certainly. And we saw yesterday with the amount of people that in a day, well over 100,000 people signed up to look at new ways for governance in football. I think we all agree with that. But I was telling Max earlier on, you joined us back in, I know it's October 2014, because it ties into a game. You joined us on the Fools panel and to try and guess the scores of those weekend's games. And it was Southampton versus Sunderland. And you just said 8-1 to Southampton. And oh, how we laughed. But you didn't get it completely right, because it was 8-0 to Southampton. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I was going to mention it today. I don't think that'll ever happen again. I wish I'd had a bet on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That would never so happen again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You've been getting in touch this afternoon. We were asking about step-aside money, weren't we? That Deontay Wilder will probably get to make sure that AJ versus Fury is on. And you've been telling us a few stories along those lines.
Yeah, you have. Sorry, I've not. I thought you were going to do the first one, and I was looking for some classics on the second one.
No, this one here. Michael in Carlisle said, "My gran was desperate to go to brother's graduation, but didn't have a ticket.
That's amazing.
But I sold it to her for 50 quid.
You can't do that. A free ticket.
They go, you sold your nan a ticket. That's bleak, Michael. Sold your old nan.
Have you ever ripped off your grandparents? 8.89.
That's very poor.
Jack says, I forgot my mouthpiece for my trumpet when booked to play a bank holiday village fete as part of a band. The guy still paid me, just told me to pretend. It's not quite step-aside money, but he's getting paid for doing absolutely nothing. Dr. Peter Gammons says, I got paid to do nothing for 2 weeks on jury service. I got let out at about 11 o'clock every day for the first 10 days, just walked around Manchester City Centre on full pay.
Wow.
That was good, wasn't
it? Step-aside money. Nearly Waltham Abbey says, in the late noughties, I was paid to manage the user acceptance testing on a system that didn't exist. For users that hadn't been recruited. This went on for 2 months, with me turning up to the office merely to entertain myself. I must have got through John Grisons and Tom Clancy's entire back catalogue, as well as getting in some impressive levels of office flirting. Don't judge me, it was a different time, okay. As you might expect, the customer was a government department. DUP, if you're interested. Yeah, shame on you.
Joe says, when my employer forgot about me while I was on paternity leave and replaced me. They paid me 3 months. Doesn't say a lot about what you contributed to the company, Joe. Yeah. They paid me 3 months' salary to not work for them and not sue them for employment law breaches.
Wow.
That's good. Interesting. They forgot he existed.
We also asked whether you've ever followed a player. We heard from one fan earlier on who followed Joe Jordan from Leeds to Manchester United and stayed a Manchester United fan. I followed Glenn Hoddle from Spurs to Monaco as a 12-year-old and was the only person at my school to wear a Monaco home shirt that was regularly mistaken for a Palace shirt, red stripe across it. God giveth Glenn and the filthy rich foreigners taketh away. Read the sign at the last game I saw him play for Spurs in the 87 Cup final. Robert in Wakefield. He went with our blessing.
If you still got the sign, you could take it to the lane tomorrow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow from 1. If you can join us live, great. If not, the podcast will be available as always at around 5. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.